Matthew Sapir is the organizer for the Faith and Life series and has four collections of poetry and has worked at St. Mary's College in California. So beginning with his own.
Mike.
Okay, the title of my talk is Poetry Isn't Anything / Poetry Is Always Right Now. Poetry isn't anything in itself. It's always in relation to experience, to whatever you're doing or thinking about, giving your attention to, and it's right now because it's whenever it's happening, whenever that activity of being in relation and context of attentiveness start to fuse with or depend on the need or desire of words forming. I noticed that just now my phrasing isn't fusing with or impinging on wanting to write or needing to write when I refer to the activity of a poem coming to be, which is the activity of language forming. On that note, I like the sentence of Gertrude Stein's in her essay, Poetry and Grammar. Quote, "One of the very interesting things to know is how you are feeling inside you to the words that are coming out to the outside of you." End of quote. As for what's on the second side of the slash, poetry is always right now, I absolutely don't mean anything ahistorical, such as only contemporary poetry matters. Anyone who knows me knows that I could not mean that. I do mean, though, to emphasize the present in the sense of being present. What it is that is the stuff of one's present, what one's energy and attention are being given to, interacting with, is always right now for the poet. Or Dante being lost in the middle of his life, or Aimé Césaire being alerted to the other side of things, or Nidecker being washed in listenably across the landscape. To be more specific, so I thought I would share four examples of ways in which my response to the equally daunting and inviting title of the panel, What is Poetry, would be different depending on what I'm in relation to. That is to say, how I'm being with whatever that is at the time. So one, first example. When I was able to spend more time working in the orchard, I thought about poetry in relation to cultivation, because that's what I was doing. And so, for example, I was asked to give a talk during that time, and so I gave a talk on how poetry was at least like tying fruit trees. You have to tie them when they're young, when they're very young, when you first plant them, to stakes, metal or wood stakes, to support their growth. And you have to tie them in ways to the wire that will support the way that they seem to be wanting to grow. So I felt there was a connection between feeling with your hands the way the tree is inclined to grow, what that is likely
think about poetry, or brought that to the fore. It's already there, but brought that to the fore, how I think about poetry, as one of the things that poetry is like, if not a thing that poetry is. And also, I wanted to say that being surrounded by actors and working on play for month after month after month, so many fascinating questions arose that also feed into how I was thinking about poetry. And one of those questions was so at the core of a phrase of Anton's. We read it, said it a couple times. They performed themselves by being them. They performed themselves by being them, from Anton's book. And that kind of, yeah, there are just endless questions that came up about, well, what is acting? Who are you being when you're acting? And so on. So when any of this thinking in any of these contexts too so far catalyzes any particular poem or is part of it, of course thinking is not a separate category from experience or from experiencing, then poetry is that right now, whenever that is. I have this idea that the word now is always a redundant word. Okay, three. When I was working very recently also with a musician who invited me to write songs, lyrics to be made into songs by the musician, that was something I'd never done before, and that brought into focus, into changed focus, something I've long felt to be true in particular ways, for me at least, that poetry aspires to a condition of song, or action of singing. But here, now, then, I had to think about how what it was like, both to feel that to be true, and at the same time to be writing lyrics to be actually sung with actual music. Not like we were doing Dickens. This is not experimental music, but old-fashioned song structure with melody, refrain, etc. So during that time, any poems that I wrote would reflect, I believe, poetry as that which was emerging from and out of that experience, at least in part, because it was the stuff of what I was thinking about, and that naturally becomes on some level the stuff of the poems at that time. I don't mean in terms of content or subject matter. I mean in terms of how I was being then. Okay, four. For a long time, and still, I have been practicing seeing very closely. It's a discipline of seeing as objectively as possible. The idea is to try to do so without imposing my ego or commentary. And I don't mean ego pejoratively. It's important. But to see, in some ways, with that being not part of it. It's a discipline of patience because of the patience it takes to then say, in this practice, what is seen, observed as accurately as possible. And I do this with two other poets, two former graduate students. We've spent 2.5 years now practicing this active discipline of attention together. We each write one sentence a week of what we perhaps ambitiously call pure observation. So Amy Litton, Abigail Zimmer, and I, and admittedly these have become looser over time. There's more subjectivity, there's more associative movement, though still there is hewing to object of attention. And I thought that I would read some of our sentences, mostly not mine, by way of proposing that while poetry isn't anything, as in it isn't any one thing, and it isn't a thing, of course, it's an activity of perception, and perception is interactive, and perception is experience, it's relational, and it's how you're doing it, that perceiving, that becomes the stuff of the poetry, the stuff that is the poetry. So I'm talking about something that is rather different from the content. much the content as anything else.
So the following single sentences are sort of like a microscope on that activity. Yes, they are single sentences. Occasionally we violate this too, but the idea is to hold everything together by all manner of punctuation. And I'll read just a few of these. And then I will be done. I have a few comments in conclusion, so I'll just read a couple of these. From Amy Lippman, there is a wooden leaf on my kitchen table, and it was mailed to me by a friend, Rachel, before she moved to Denver last summer when she was packing up her apartment and thinking of people who might want her extra things. The troubling thing about this leaf is that it wobbles if anything heavier than a mug is put onto it, but as far as I can tell, its job is to hold things that are just around. It is not a shelf or a table or a platform, but it curves, and so I respond by trying to make it hold something, and it curves slightly because it is a wooden model of a leaf, and so while it has a base, which rests flatly on the kitchen table, the surface of it, which holds at present 3 pennies and 2 dimes and 1 nickel and 1 orange pen, is similar to the surface of a leaf that I could find right at this moment outdoors. By Abigail Zimmer. It's not that we're saying, well, these are our poems, so this is what poetry is then, because these are the poems that we're writing. I hope that it's clear that I'm talking about the process going into this activity. The activity itself. Okay, so Abigail. A woman leaving a bakery, holding a cake with 2 hands and stepping carefully with pointed toes, feeling for a step which is not there, slips sideways through the open door held by someone's hand, whose hand I can't see, into the sunlight where she squints and feels along, her hair ruffled by wind and cake. And cake spells out in blue icing. Her hair was not ruffled by the cake. Her hair ruffled by wind, and the cake spells out in blue icing, "Happy birthday, Carl," and is held steady. Just 2 more. One by Amy and one by me. Amy. While sweeping the wooden floor in the living room, it becomes obvious that the floor has been partially covered with dog hair and dirt for days, and that no piece of dog hair or dirt is distinguishable from any other piece that is near it, and no piece of dog hair or dirt on the floor is significant on its own, but some pieces come together to make, in some places, a thin sheet of matter foreign to the wood that it covers. Okay, and here's the one that I wrote. The shadow of the mountain moved across the mountain quickly, very quickly, because the wind was blowing the cloud mass fast, and so it was like another mountain forming and disappearing, or rather as if the mountain itself was moving, which brought instantly to mind a Dogen essay on the fact that mountains walk, and how he said he was not referring to geologic processes by which mountains change. He said they walk, both green and white mountains walk. In this case, the mountain was running, not walking. Its name is Mullen, and we may climb it on James's birthday before it runs away. Okay, so I forgot to write a conclusion when I was writing this, sorry, but I will note that in conclusion, I feel that something about what Amy and Abigail and I call the sentence practice underlines perhaps all the other examples. And maybe anything that I would say in response to the question of what is poetry, because it's an activity of attentiveness, whether to an external object or to one's own mind, and it's an experience of being in relation both to, in this situation, both to what's being perceived, and also, in our case, to each other. And finally, I would say that poetry, on that note, poetry is always